So I would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I would like to read from Psalm 42. Psalm 42. I'd like to read the first six verses and then one more verse out of that chapter and a couple out of the next psalm. Psalm 42. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the privilege to know the one true and living God and to know that Thou art our Heavenly Father. The privilege that we have to understand something about the great grace of God and the amazing grace of God. You have loved us with an everlasting love and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we're preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're kept by the power of God. We're thankful that the devil and all of his angels cannot separate us from Thee. We're thankful that every single one that Jesus died for, that they shall be in that eternal home in the heavens, not made with hands. And we're thankful that one day we are going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, that we're going to be made absolutely perfect. But we're thankful also that while we live here in these bodies of flesh, where we are sinners and we fall short of honoring and glorifying Thee as we should, we're thankful that in Thy mercy and in Thy grace that Thou dost come down and visit with us here. Thou dost lift us up and bless us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that You help us to feel the joy and the peace and the righteousness that's found only in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we thank You for the great joy that floods our souls. We thank You for the felt presence of Thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that as we study Thy Word tonight, that Thou would help us to hear and understand the truth of Thy Word, and that Thou would help us to rejoice in that truth and then to walk in the light of Thy Word. We ask Thy blessings on all those who are sick and afflicted. There are many who stand in special need of Thy help. And we know that You are the great physician, that Thou hast all power. And we ask You to touch and heal and lift up each of those that are on our hearts and minds and in the bulletin, those that have been mentioned audibly, and the other ones that are on our minds, we pray that You would bless each and every one. Not only those that are sick physically, but those who have other kinds of troubles and problems, we pray that You would touch and heal and lift up, and that You would restore body, soul, and spirit. Again, now we pray that You would bless us during this coming week, that You would guide and direct us by Thy Spirit, that You would lead us in paths of righteousness, for Thy name's sake, that You would lead us beside the still waters, and that You would help us to find great revival as we look to Thee for the strength and the grace we need each day. Bless every person in this congregation and each family that's represented and all of Thy people the world over. Bless every congregation wherever they're assembled together in Thy name this night. Bless each man of God to preach the Word of God and the people of God to be fed from Thy Word. Teach us now and instruct us, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from Psalm 42, the first six verses. The Word of God says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar." Come down now to verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Then chapter 43, verse 5, he again says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him." In this passage of Scripture in Psalm 42 and 43, there's no doubt that David was having a problem with his soul being cast down. Same thing as we might call it what? Depression. We might call it depression. He was discouraged and despondent. He was depressed. There are times in the Word of God where one individual said, "I am like a pelican in the wilderness." That's how alone sometimes the people of God. And other individuals said, "I am like a sparrow on the rooftop, a lone sparrow on the rooftop, not with a lot of other sparrows. I'm all alone." And so it is that sometimes the people of God feel all alone. Sometimes they feel, the Word of God describes it in another way, they feel like a blind man that's groping for the wall. They can't find any light anywhere. They don't know what to do, and they don't know which direction to go in. And so David is speaking to himself here, and he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" It was like he was in a deep well in a deep valley. It's like he was way down in the lowest of pits that he could be in, and while he was down there, he was speaking to himself, and he was asking, "Why are you cast down? Why are you discouraged?" I believe with all of my heart, brethren, that when we are discouraged and despondent, when we are cast down, we need to ask ourselves, like David did, "Why are you cast down? What is your problem? What is the reason that you feel so low? Why are you so despondent?" We need to question ourselves. Now, in the middle of David saying all of these, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" I want you to notice one particular expression that he made in Psalm 43 and verse 3. Psalm 43 and verse 3, in the midst of all of this questioning himself, he cries unto God in Psalm 43 and verse 3, and he says, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." Now, do you hear what he's crying to God for? He's crying to God while he's down in the valley and while he's discouraged and despondent, and he says, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth." Did you know that David understood that the only way that he could get out of the problem that he was in was if God would send out His light? When we're in the darkness of depression like David was right here, we need to cry out just like David did. We need to cry out, first of all, we need to say, "Why are you cast down?" We need to question and examine ourselves, but we also need to cry out to God and beg God to send out His light and His truth. Because most of the time that we're depressed, it's because the devil has told us a lie. Even in our subconscious and deep down in our soul, there's something that we're worrying about. There's something that's bothering us. And so it is that we need to cry to God and say, "Oh, send out thy light and thy what? And thy truth." Both things. We need both. We need the light of God and we need the truth of God. He says, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth." And look at the next expression in verse 3. He says, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me." Let who? What's the pronoun "them" referring to? The light and the truth. We need both. We need the light of God and we need the truth of God. Let them lead me. And then he says, "Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles." Brethren, one of the most wonderful blessings we have is to come into the holy hill and the tabernacles of God. One of the most wonderful blessings we have is to be in the house of God and to be in the kingdom of God, to be led by God to the holy hill of God. And the only way you can ever get to that holy hill of God is if God leads you to that holy hill.
Nobody else can lead you out of the valley. No one can help you out of the valley. And so it is that you have to cry to God and say, God, please send out thy light and thy truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me unto thy holy hill and thy tabernacles. You know, there's a big difference in what David's feeling right here and what he feels in a number of his other psalms. For example, back up just a moment to Psalm 27. Look at Psalm 27. Now, in Psalm 27, it almost seems like in Psalm 27 he's on the mountaintop, and he almost feels like in Psalm 27 that he will never come down. He has total and complete confidence in God. In Psalm 27, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now, did he clearly see God right then was his light? Do you think he was depressed when he wrote Psalm 27? Absolutely not. You cannot read Psalm 27 and think that David was depressed or discouraged. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Did you know one of the biggest problems we have as children of God is that we have too many other lights, and I'm going to put that in quotation marks, we have too many other lights in our lives that distract us from the true light. And all these other lights that we begin to go after and we begin to follow these other lights, we think, you know, I feel the light there, I feel good there, I feel like I'm giving some joy there. After a little while, all the lights of this world, they all fizzle out, they all go out, and they're of no lasting value whatsoever. The only light that is of any great benefit to the people of God is the light that God gives them. And that's the reason that David cries out, "Oh God, send out thy light." In Psalm 27, he's declaring, "The Lord is my light. God is my light." What's the greatest joy you have? What's the greatest blessing that you have? I hope that it's God himself. What's the dearest friend that you have? I hope that it's God himself. Because if it's anything or anyone other than God, you're going to be right back down in the pit again. And you're going to be crying out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, encourage yourself." And you just can't get out of the valley and out of the pit. And so finally you begin to cry out, "O God, send out thy light. I've been led away by these other lights. The devil and all of his angels are transformed into messengers of light, and I've gone after the wrong kind of light, and I find myself now abandoned down in the valley, and I need you, Lord. I need you to send out your light." Isn't that where we find ourselves so many times in our lives, is we've just been led astray by other lights, and we've lost sight of the true light, and that light is God. Go with me to the New Testament, John chapter 8. Most all of you are familiar with this verse of Scripture. But in John chapter 8, Jesus makes the clear statement that he is the light of the world. Did God, and I'm going to say right now that we're referring, when we say, "Oh God, send out thy light," that we're talking about God the Father. God the Father. Think about God the Father just a moment. God the Father. The Scripture says in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of what? The Father of lights. Now, he is light. God the Father is light. God is light. But God has a lot of other lights that God uses to bless the lives of the people of God. And so it is that one of the great lights that the Father has given us, and in fact I would declare that the greatest light the Father has ever given to us is his Son, who is the light of the world. That's the greatest light. He's the Father of lights. The greatest light that he has ever given us to guide us and lead us and enlighten our lives is Jesus Christ. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to believe on the Lord. We need to trust in Jesus. We need to realize that Jesus is real and that we can have fellowship with Jesus every day. And so it is that in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus
makes this statement. The Word of God says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." I want to ask you a question. Back there in Psalm 42, was David walking in darkness? Was David walking in darkness back there? Was he in darkness? He certainly was. He was in darkness. And what was he crying out for? Oh God, send out thy light and thy truth. And so it is that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Follow me. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you want to have the light of life, if you want to have the abundant life, you have to follow Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And he makes a declaration here that while you are following him, you will have the light of life. The only time that you will ever lose the light of life and find yourself in darkness and cast down is when you have stopped following the light. You'll always be in darkness if you stop following the true light. In fact, that's what John, the first chapter of the Gospel of John says, is that John the Baptist was not this true light, but he came to bear witness of the light. And that true light was Jesus Christ. And now Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and if you follow me, you will have the light of life. So when you ever find yourself down in the valley, and you know that you're down in a pit, and you know that something is wrong, you need to cry out to Jesus, because there's no name under heaven whereby men must be saved other than the name of Jesus. I encourage everybody here to recognize and realize and know the power in the name of Jesus. Call on Jesus. Call on him by that name. Not just call on him Lord or God or Father, but I encourage you to call on the name of Jesus. That's the name that's above every name in heaven and in earth, is the name Jesus. So Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall have the light of life. Now, I mentioned James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And David in Psalm 43 and verse 5, Psalm 43 and verse 3, David said, Oh, send out thy light. Do you sometimes need Jesus to come to you where you are? Absolutely, absolutely. Sometimes we can't make one step forward. We can't go to Jesus. Sometimes, I'm talking about after we've been born of the Spirit of God, sometimes we just have to sit down and cry out, God, send out thy light and thy truth. Send it out. I can't find it. Send Jesus to me. Send Jesus to me to help me right now. Send out thy light. Look at John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, beginning in verse 35, Jesus continues the thought about him being the light, and that he was only going to be in the world a little while. Now, I would ask you, is Jesus still in the world today? Is Jesus still in the world? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Listen now in John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. And the Word of God says, Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Can the light be taken away from us today? Yes, absolutely. The light can be taken away from us. That was part of what we tried to study this morning. Walk while you have the light, because the light will not always be with you. If you don't follow the light while you have the light, God can remove the light. What did God say to the churches in Asia? He said, I'll remove thy candlestick, to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. The light, brethren, when the light is gone, when God removes the candlestick and the light is gone from the church and the light is gone from your life, there's nobody that can come up with any kind of a light that will be of any benefit to you whatsoever. But what do we need to cry out? Oh Lord, send out thy light. I need thy light. And Jesus now in John 12 says, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness
come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Now, listen carefully. He says, while you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may be the children of light. You remember what Jesus said to his apostles, his followers, in Matthew chapter 5? He said, ye are, to the disciples, to people. Can you be a light? Brother Andy, are you a light? Amen. You are a light. Sister Mason, you're a light. All of you in this building, every one of you in this building, I know everybody here, and I have seen Christ in you. And it's in seeing Christ in you that you are a light to me and a light to other people. And when David said in Psalm 43:3, O send out thy light. There are all kinds of lights. They all come from God. The only lights that can ever help you come from God. God sent his Son, and his Son is the greatest light of them all. He's the one that can help you more than any and everyone combined. And yet God has also sent you out. You are the lights of the world. Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, ye are the what? Ye are the light of the world. You and I and all the people of God that are walking in the light. While we're walking in the light, we are children of light. We're followers of the light. And can God send a person to you and that person be a light that delivers you out of the valley? Yes, he can. He's the Father of lights, of all lights that ever can deliver us from the valley. Jesus is the greatest light and the primary light that when you cry out, oh, send out thy light, the number one person in your mind ought to always be Jesus. But sometimes Jesus, who is the light of the world, sometimes Jesus will send out you and you and you, and he'll send you out for you to go out there and help those that are in darkness. Right now, brethren, right now, there are people that are members of this body. They're lost. They're lost. Now, I know that what does the religious world often mean when they talk about people that are lost? They talk about people that are dead and trespasses and sin, people that are going to die and go to hell. The Bible never uses the word lost that way. The Bible never uses the word lost that way. The Bible, when the Bible uses the word lost, it's always talking about children of God who have gotten what? They've gotten lost. Do you know the difference in somebody that's dead and somebody that's lost? Somebody that's lost is somebody that's alive, but they're on the wrong track and they're going in the wrong direction. They're not going toward God. Any children of God that are lost, they're still children of God. The prodigal son that went away from his father's house, the father said, this my son was lost. He wasn't dead. He wasn't physically dead, but he was lost, wasn't he? And sometimes children of God get lost. And what do those children of God need to cry out when you get lost? Okay, send me, O Lord, what's Psalm 43:3 say? Oh, send out thy light. Send me light, Lord. Send me light and send me truth. Let them guide me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Because when I can ever get to the holy hill and the tabernacles, when I get to the city of God, I'm at the city of light. And I'm no longer down in the valley. I'm no longer in the pits. I'm up on the mountaintop when I can feel the presence of God in His glory manifesting His light. Much like Peter, James, and John when Jesus carried them up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Scripture talks about how Jesus was transfigured before them, and they saw Jesus. They saw the light of Jesus brighter than they had ever seen before. It doesn't matter how much light of God you've ever seen. Doesn't matter how much truth of God you've ever seen. Sometimes you can lose sight of the light. And when you lose sight of the light, you need to pray, God, send out thy light. First of all, God, I'm asking you to send me Jesus because I need Jesus' help. You need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to also say, God, I have brothers and sisters in Christ and I need them to come help me. You need to call for the help of your brethren. James chapter 5 says, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. You see? It's not the elders' responsibility to go find out who's sick. If you are sick, you're supposed to call for the elders of the church. You're supposed to be crying out just like David did in Psalm 42:5 when he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And then in 43:3 he said, oh, send out thy light. Help me, Lord. And that's what you're supposed to be doing is crying out, Lord, send out thy light. You're supposed to be calling on God. You're supposed to be calling on God the Father. You're supposed to be calling on Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be calling on the people of God. You need to let the people of God know, I'm lost. I'm lost. When Brother Tandy came before the church recently, what did he do? He was crying out, I'm lost. I'm lost and I'm undone. I'm in a hole down in a valley and I can't get out. Isn't that what he was doing? You know what God did? When he humbled himself like he did, God sent out his light. And listen, brethren, the light of God, the glory of God shined in his life and in his heart and in his soul, and he was revived. And there were many other lights, the people of God, the children of light that gathered round him and his wife, and all the light of God and all the lights of the people of God and the light of the Word of God. You remember how David said in Psalm 119, 105, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God. God, send out your Word. Show me what your Word is teaching. Teach me from thy Word, because that will lead me. What will the light and the truth lead you to? What was it that David said? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them guide me to what? Let me guide to thy holy hill. What is this holy hill? Zion. Yes. Old Testament is called Zion. New Testament is called what? The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Send out thy light and thy truth and let them lead me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Go with me to Revelation just a moment. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. As the Word of God describes the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Remember the definition of the kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you have the kingdom of heaven, when you're in this holy city, when you're in this new Jerusalem, you are filled with what? Light. And you're filled with truth. And you're filled with joy. And you're filled with peace. And you're filled with righteousness. In Revelation chapter 21, look at verses 10 and 11. Speaking about this holy city, the new Jerusalem that God established for His obedient children while they lived here on this earth. It came down from God out of heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 and 11, and He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. There's Mount Zion, Brother Neil, that you were talking about a while ago. He carried me to a great and high mountain. What did David say over there in Psalm 43:3? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth and let them guide me to thy holy hill. There's the mountain right here. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. There are so many of God's children that think this new Jerusalem is the eternal heaven. I'm telling you, if you'll read the Word of God, you'll see that this new Jerusalem came down from God out of heaven. It came from God. It's called the kingdom of God. It came down out of heaven. It's called the kingdom of heaven. And so he says, he showed me this holy city, this new Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And listen, verse 11 now. Having the glory of God and her light. Her referring back to what? The pronoun her is referring back to who? What? The city. That's right, the city. And her light, the light of the city, was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
Come down to verses 23 and 24. The scripture says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." When you're down in the valley, when you're down in the pits, you need to cry out just like David did. You need to cry out, "Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to the holy hill, to his tabernacles." May God help us to cry out unto the Lord for the light that we need every day of my life, every day of our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.